Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Thanks so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio is one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I want to thank everyone so much for their fantastic support. During the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing two Hopi Native American elders, Verna Mesvas-Sava, I hope I connected that correctly, and Ernest Tahoe, as well as Leon McLaughlin of the Washington Clean Water Foundation, Michiko Hayashi, the wonderful Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network in Seattle, about how we're getting clean water for the Hopi for the first time in recent history. I'll also be interviewing Vernon and Ernest, Hopi elders, on the Hopi prophecies for the new year. Michiko will also be talking about how all children on the Hopi reservation will now be receiving the beautiful Moto Peace Project children's books, which teach them the beautiful messages of love and gratitude from the famous Dr. Moto. She'll also be talking about providing clean water for the people of Guadalajara, Mexico, who are now unfortunately drinking carcinogenic contaminated water, but we hope to change that. I hope you can listen to this amazing show. During the second hour from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll first be interviewing one of the world's most famous water scientists, Dr. Gerald Pollack from the University of Washington, and his interview will be followed by a wonderful lady named Sharon Klein, a wonderful lady who uses water to help heal people. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio show, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I'd like to thank Corey and Sol and Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as my friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for their goods and services in over 90 countries. With that, I'd like to thank Sean Burdett at Puget Sound Computer in Olympia for their wonderful support. They do fantastic work, and their prices are extremely reasonable. They've helped me. If you need any help with computer issues, please call them at area code 360-250-3170. They are located at 6715 Martin Way East in Olympia, and they really do excellent work. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW and my wonderful producer for his help. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Stillicum Road. We will have some of the best psychics and healers in the world there. The cost, if you register before January 20th, is just $77 for the entire conference. And after January 20th, the cost will go up to $125. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. After the conference, I'll be taking a group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with Hopi elders in Arizona from about April 20th to April 28th, 2019. We'll meet in Sedona, then travel north to the Hopi. The cost is $400 per person, with half the proceeds going to the Hopi and the other half going to the nonprofit children's charity, the Emoto Peace Project. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll also be returning to Mount Shasta from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur from the Telosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. And while I was there the last time in September, last year, we were able to telepathically contact a UFO, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the vision in both of my eyes. For many years since college, I'd had blurry 20/50 vision in my right eye, and thanks to Adama and the Hollow Earth people, they restored my eyesight to crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes. The cost to go to on this trip is only $200 per person, includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. There's also some wonderful fairs coming up I'd love to tell you about. 1 week from tomorrow, on Saturday, January 19th, there will be a wonderful Cosmic Awareness Fair in Olympia at 9101 Stillicum Road from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with lots of vendors and light workers, including myself, who will be giving a free presentation at 4 p.m. Then on February 16th, I'll also have a special psychic fair devoted entirely to Valentine's Day and finding your sweetheart. I'll be doing readings all that day, and I'll also be giving out special love potions to people who want to find their sweetheart. The potions do work, and everyone who's tried it have found their sweetheart within 1 to 4 weeks. But anyway, it's a fun, free event, and I hope you can come. It'll be held at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia. And with that, I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light to Carol's mom. She's got Alzheimer's, and she needs some additional help, so some love and light to her would be wonderful. She does my website, does wonderful work, so that would be really good. Also, I have friends in Dresden, Germany, Saskia and her husband, Max. He had an operation recently. If you could send lots of love and light to him, too, that would be great. Before we bring in our guests, I wanted to share a really fantastic spiritual experience I had last week. I was just going to sleep last Tuesday evening when I saw this big, bright, white light come into me. And it said everything was conscious, and I asked how to change the world, and they said, The entity said, the spirit that came through me was Dr. Masaru Emoto, but just after Dr. Emoto came through, I received a second message that it actually was the supreme being or God that came through, and she said that in order to change the planet, we needed to change consciousness, and so that's the purpose of my program, and I realized after I received this beautiful light communication that we are indeed all one. We all have the spirit of the prime creator or God within us. And once we realize that, there will be no more war, no more conflicts, and we'll treat, I'm sure, each other with loving and respect. I have, of course, my new book. I have a holiday special that I've extended through this month called Messages from the Masters, in which I have messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, and the Pleiadians in the Galactic Alliance. And they all talk about our beautiful and bright future. Sure, we're going to have challenges. But if you'd like a copy, the cost is only $20 per book, per copy, and you'll get also include a free reading from myself. If you'd like a copy of the book, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The new Earth, my spirit guides tell me, is just around the corner. We will not need to use oil as an energy source because we're free energy. In the new Earth, we will not have any more conflict. Wars will be a thing of the past, and it'll be a place where our children and our children's children will grow up and live to be long and have long and happy lives of at least 150, and beyond that, 200 and 300 years, far beyond our current capacity. I want to tell everyone that because I know there's a lot of challenges out there today, and one of the reasons I wanted to tell you that is because we were all able to make a big difference today, the last couple of months, with the Hopi Native Americans in Arizona. For decades, they've been drinking water that's carcinogenic. It was full of impurities and pollution. After the federal government, starting in 2015, President Obama refused to help them, these poor Indians. We stepped in, and we were able to get over $30,000 through private donations, especially from a wonderful lady in Teresa in Idaho. And so now everyone in the Hopi Reservation will be able to drink clean water. If it's the first time in decades they've had clean water. A lot of us live in cities across the world, and some of us perhaps take for granted clean drinking water. But for the Hopi, clean drinking water is very, very important and precious. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friends, Leon McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation, the wonderful Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, And Martha Childress will also be joining us here in a few minutes when she gets to the studio. Then at the bottom of the hour, at about 2:30 p.m., I'll be bringing on Vernon Misavia and Ernest Tahoe, of the Hopi tribe. They're elders, and they'll be talking about the importance of clean water as well as the Hopi prophecies for our future. And before we start, Eric, could we please play the Japanese water song here briefly? Thank you so much, Eric. Appreciate your help. Thank you so much, Eric, for playing that beautiful water song. If anyone out there would like a copy of this beautiful song, please send me an email and I'll put you in touch with people that can provide it for you. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Well, let's see. Who do we have on? Do we have Michiko and Leon on? Wonderful. Michiko, how are you doing today?
Hi, Ted. I'm fine. Thank you. Oh. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's so good to have you. I know it's early there, so... But thanks so much for getting up early on a Saturday morning to be on the show. I appreciate you so much for coming on.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have Leon on. Leon, are you there? We'll get Leon on here in just a minute. Mitchie, tell us a little bit about your background with Dr. Emoto and the beautiful work that you did with him.
I started working for Dr. Emoto as a personal assistant in... I think it was March or April of 2004. And since then, I worked as a personal assistant to Dr. Emoto. And we started, when he was invited to United Nations headquarters in New York in 2005, he announced about this children's book, The Message from Water, that he would... distribute this, he would make this children's book of the message from water and give to 650 million children all around the world so that they will learn about the truth of water.
Wow.
And how love and gratitude will make the beautiful and harmonious world. So ever since then, we started to do the work of Emoto Peace Project together, and he passed away in 2014. And since then, I promised that I would continue to do this work. So this is where I am.
Well, 650 million books are...
Yeah, that's a big, big amount.
A little ambitious.
It's a lot, but I'm so grateful that... Yeah. Many people have supported Dr. Emoto and me, and now we have this book translated into 34 languages. So I'm trying to reach to that number.
Oh,
it's still
good. That's okay.
So much more to go.
That's beautiful. And I know Leon Our good friend Leon from the Washington, from the Clean Water Foundation of Washington, is another outstanding person who's done some wonderful work. Michiko, I'll go to Leon. Leon, how are you doing there?
Everything's going great, Ted. Thank you for having me on the show. And what a beautiful song. I definitely want a copy of that song. That song was so beautiful. Oh, my
Leon,
God.
Leon, I'll bring it to you. That's from my office.
Okay. I fell in love with that song. I was like, wow.
Actually, Dr. Emoto's best friend made that song and is singing that song with his daughter. And the song, the lyric is made by Dr. Emoto. So it's a beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you for liking it.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, Leon, in 20 words or less, please tell us a little bit about your background. And I'm just kidding. You know, there's no limitation on words, but just tell us a little bit about your background and how you've been able to help the Hopi. How did you start this today?
Well, basically, as you know, I had a leather care business, shoe shine and shoe repair, and that's at the Columbia Tower in Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. And I was traveling around the world, and actually my story started off in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a lady in Mexico when I was traveling, and I was asking her about these water barrels that was on the roof. And she basically told me that she was collecting the rainwater and had her water barrel on the roof and was storing water in her bathtub. And she had gave a gathering one day, and a tourist was there, asked to use the restroom, seen the water in the bathtub, drained it, thinking he was doing her a favor, came out and told her, and she was, like, crying, saying that was her water for the month. And I start wondering, was it any kind of way you could provide, like, a mobile water unit that would be cheap, because they were telling me that the water trucks was coming and they were charging them all this money for water. And a lot of places people was making a dollar a day and the water was costing that. So I went to school for water distribution, repair and maintenance, got a degree in it, and then started designing these mobile water units that was not costing a lot of money at all. So it was not expensive. It was affordable. And we started putting these units around the world, working with organizations like World Vision and other organizations, Peace Corps. And now we're in over 32 different countries. And we just got this project with the Hopi tribe because we hadn't put any of these water systems in America, which I really didn't know it was an issue in America with water till I was actually on your show and you were talking about the Hopi tribe in Arizona had water with arsenic in it. And we said, hey, let's try to put a project together to help the people right here in America. And like I said, I know it was a problem out of the country, but had no idea it was a problem of water issues in the United States. And then we found out about Flint, Michigan, and the Hopi tribe. And when we found out that they basically had, like, uranium, arsenic 3, arsenic 5, can you imagine somebody drinking water
terrible
with that in it?
Yeah,
I mean,
awful.
That's death. And we designed a special filter and a water unit for the Hopi tribe. And with a donation that we had got, like you had mentioned earlier, from Teresa from Idaho, we were able to develop a special filter and a water unit for the Hopi tribe in Arizona.
Wow.
And I'm just loving every second of it because we're doing something right here in the United States for some folks that really need to have clean water, and it's a real issue. So now, we're sending units to the Hopi tribe, and we're looking at also expanding to the Navajo and also going back to Mexico, where I started at with Michi.
Yes.
Well, you know, and the important thing, too, is not to rely so much upon the government for help or because the Hopi have been asking for help from the federal government and state governments for the last 4 years or longer for clean water. And back when President Obama, I don't I don't want to say too much, but back when President Obama was president back in 2015, his administration actually absolutely refused to give any clean water efforts at all in the Hopi. So,
Ted, I think it's about time that people, not government, but people help each other with our love and gratitude and respect for every people, every being on this earth. It's just time for us to help support each other.
Well,
that's right.
Absolutely. Well, this is a theme, of course, developed by President Kennedy. And one thing I like to play here real quick when Eric gets a chance, if you could play that 30-second run of President Kennedy's famous Ask Not speech. I'm sorry I didn't give you any notice ahead of time, Eric, but when you find it, just let me know. We'll run it. But I think that's what he said before is all of us, the kinds of changes happening on this planet is not so much from the top down from centralized governments, but from the bottom up, from everyone listening today to make a difference in life and make this world a better and happier place. And if you could play that Ask Not speech now, that would be great. Thank you.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Brings up an important point, and you proved it, Michiko. You proved it, Leon. And Teresa, you've proved it. And all the people who've, and Martha, too, here in the studio, all of us working together can make this planet a much better place. We don't need to rely upon large centralized authorities to do the work that we can do on our own to make this world a better place. And just real brief, Martha's come into the studio. Martha Childress of Natural Choice Network. Hi, Martha. Welcome to the show.
How are you? Fine. Wonderful. Yeah, and to dovetail on what you were just saying, and working with the Hopi to do this too. We came up with a solution that would provide water, clean drinking water for the entire reservation for 30,000, and the EPA and the federal government, it came up with a figure of $20 million.
Well, they refused to provide any money at all, nothing.
Yeah, but that's how much they thought it was going to cost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, things may look very, very daunting, but when people get together and work together and
Absolutely. Everyone's
involved and from the heart, we can do so much more for so much less and lasting.
Exactly. And we're sponsoring a trip for those interested. It'll be after my Galactic Wisdom Conference from about April 20th to the 28th or so. And in Arizona, we'll be visiting with Hopi elders, visiting sacred sites in the area. And if you can come, it would be a beautiful trip. Just send me an email if you'd like to come along. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. But one of the projects we'd like to do next is after we help the Hopi is to help the Navajo too.
Absolutely.
I've heard they've got the same water problems. But so we'll be looking at that as well in April. And I know we can solve them. And
Ted, would you please include Mexico?
Yeah, also?
Well, that'll be my
on
next
the list too. Yeah.
That's going to be my next sentence.
Thank you.
My next sentence was in Mexico too. That's okay, because Michiko, you're flying down to Guadalajara, I think, in late March sometime.
Guadalajara. Yeah.
Yeah. And down there, tell us a little bit about the water situation in Guadalajara, if you can.
I am so sorry. My heart is broken because the people around the lake called Lake Chapala, that's one of the biggest
natural lake
in Mexico, is really polluted, and it's the area of the world with the highest rate of kidney disease because of polluted water.
Wow.
And 80% of those children between age of 1 to 14 years old, only 1 to 14 years old are affected by this polluted water, and they have diseases, renal diseases, and because of the arsenic water and heavy metals. Yeah. So it was on the news in May last year in Mexico, and ever since I discovered it, I just have to help those children in this area.
Near Guadalajara.
Leon,
aren't like over 50% of the hospital beds in the entire world due to waterborne illnesses?
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Yeah, you're looking at 50% of the world's hospital beds are with people with waterborne illnesses. So imagine that's a problem.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And look at all those beds that would be freed up. And these
are
from waterborne illnesses.
So working on this is huge, you know, ripple effect.
Yeah, I mean, together, collectively, I know
we can turn things around.
We are small one beings, but collectively, with everyone's help, I think we can really help those people. I mean,
well, Mitzi,
we are the same people.
Mitzi, I want you to work with Leon. Could you work with Leon on maybe getting an estimate about how much it would cost to get water filters for the people of Guadalajara in that area, like we did for the Hopi, and then we could use that as a fundraising target of what needs to be done?
Yeah, I am planning to be there in March, and then personally I will be visiting all these sites and talk with those people and see how much we would, how many units and how much we would cost.
Okay.
It would cost. But anyway, I will be in touch with, talking with Leon too, and you, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? Thank
absolutely.
You.
Yeah, and we're also in the process of putting together a website. When it goes live, it's going to be flow-l-o-w for love of water.
Mm-hmm. Dot life.
So, and that's
wonderful.
That's a place where we'll be able to put all the events and all the particular areas that we're targeting kind of one at a time, you know, so people will know exactly, you know, when they want to get involved and where they want to get involved, where it's going to. And one of the things I think I'm so impressed about with the Clean Water Foundation is that it's all 100% volunteer, and 100% of the funds go into these water units. You're not doing administrative costs. So it is.
No, that's good.
The biggest bang for your money.
And keeping kids out of hospital beds. Right. And along with that, we're giving that children's book of the message from water written by Dr. Emoto with the beautiful message of love and gratitude and how our conscious, beautiful consciousness will change the world, a beautiful place. So that'll be wonderful.
I know. So isn't it interesting how flow is for
love of water. It just flows,
doesn't it?
I know there's I'm getting some emails, and there's people who want to donate to this effort. They can either send me an email to outofthisworld1150 @gmail.com for more information. Or Leon, could you please give a contact email or website for people if they want to support your efforts?
Go to www.cleanwaterfoundation.org. They can also donate there at our website.
And we've got a banner page on our homepage on naturalchoice.net you can just click right on an icon on the banner page. It'll take you straight to their donate page too.
Now, as you've been talking, everyone, all this beautiful angelic lights come into the studio along with some beautiful sunlight here too. So I just love it when the angels come in. So for those of you on YouTube, you can see the light around us today. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in Seattle, and especially nice because we do get a lot of cloudy days and rain here, but it is a beautiful day. And with that, I'd like to bring in some love and light from the Hopi elders. Eric, when you have a chance, see if you can reach Ernest and Vernon, and then we can bring them on as well. Leon, you're a wonderful fellow. How long have you been how long ago did you start your process with the Clean Water Foundation?
We've been doing this for about 15 years now.
Oh, wonderful. My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we first started out in Bolivia, and like I said, and now we're in the 32 different countries. And now we're working with the Hopi, the Navajo, and also with we're going to be doing that project in Mexico with Mitzi. So that's our latest project. I'll also be putting a deal together with the Rotary to see if they can fund Mexico and Hopi and Navajo tribe. And that will be,
we're in a meeting
March 15th. So I'll update everybody on that also. So we're trying to get everybody involved, just like you said, Ted. It's working together works.
Absolutely.
So if we can all work together, and just like Martha said, let it flow for love of water, we can free up those hospital beds, and it's something that could be, you know, it's not impossible. It could definitely be cured, this waterborne illnesses. So it's not like it's something that's impossible to do.
Yeah, and it doesn't take too much to do it. Even a contribution like $125 actually pays for an entire countertop unit that provides, what is it, like a gallon a second or something, Leon, for like 30 years?
A gallon of water a minute.
Yeah, a gallon of water a minute for 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So any donation of any time can go so far, so fast.
That's
amazing.
That's
why we're able to do it, because Leon,
and
you know,
just imagine how many people we can help with this, just with just one filter.
Yeah.
One water unit.
One home.
It's just...
Yeah, one home they can have clean water for.
Or one school.
One school.
Go into a school.
Yeah. Tell them about the solar units, because the ideas of having these kind of portable free water, you know, carts for people could just bring their own jugs and fill them up.
We also designed solar units, which we're doing for the Hopi tribe with the no running water homes that we're opening up, like a water store for free water. And they can come with their jugs at the water store with our solar unit, and you don't need electricity, and they can go and get their water there. So we're developing water stores where people can come, get water, and it's free.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Eric, were we able to get a hold of Vernon or Ernest? Okay, we've got Vernon. Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Vernon, how are you doing today?
Just doing great.
It's so good.
I'm here in Scottsdale, where it's nice and warm.
Okay, good, good. Well, it's about, 55, 54 degrees. That's warm for up here. So
yeah, we're seasonally
it's tropical
warm.
Up here. It's tropical up here, Vernon.
This is Michiko.
Hello. Yep.
Hi, Vernon.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you?
doing fine.
Good.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Vernon, could you tell all my listeners a little bit about your background? Just a short, just a little brief couple sentences, if you don't mind.
Yes, I will. My little background is that I grew up in the village of Haute Bella, 1940, and grew up there and then went to school, government school. I was given the name Kinantiwa by my maternal aunt. And when I went to school, the policy of the Bureau of the government school was to get rid of our names and give us English names.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so I was called Vernon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my name right now, but my Hopi name is Kinantiwa.
Beautiful name.
And grew up in Haute Bella in the 1940s. And went to universities, got my master's from Central Michigan University.
Very good.
And then I became a principal of the first school that was contracted from the government and run by the people.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
This was Haute Bella, and then the school I went to was Haute Bella Day School. And we changed the name to Haute Bella Bakavi Community School.
Wonderful.
And we put together a board of parents to run the school, which is the first in the nation.
Wow.
Wow.
Wonderful.
It was really amazing.
Vernon?
And so I was there for quite a while. And we created a curricula based on the arts. We taught everything through the arts, like music was a math was taught through music, because music is mathematical notes.
Wow. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's
and
that's
we
a great
put
way.
Together a Hopi Youth Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Traveled through California, New Mexico, Arizona, giving concerts. And wow. It got to the point where we began to tell the kids to do their own composition, musical composition,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
part of the requirement for graduating from Whitville-Abacabe Community School. It was grades 1 through 6.
Leon? Vernon? Vernon?
Uh-huh.
Sorry to interrupt, my friend, but what was the water quality like when you were growing up there on the Hopi?
We all were getting water. Mm-hmm. The village, there was no water well.
Mm-hmm.
We got water from a spring.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very interesting because it was like a community gathering where mm-hmm. people, ladies come down,
mm-hmm.
wash their hair, you know, and get water and mm-hmm. gossip. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, brought the village together. And then they start drilling water wells. And so that little thing that I remember mm-hmm. is no longer done.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, it's all now we're dependent on running water.
Tell us.
But the mm-hmm. but the water quality is excellent in my village.
Mm-hmm.
It's good water, unlike water at First Mesa Villages and Second Mesa, where they're having contamination problems.
I see.
Yeah, no, we don't have that at Hood Bella. It's pure, pristine water pumped out of ancient aquifer that's mm-hmm. over 35,000 years old.
Wow.
Pristine water, fossil water,
mm-hmm.
And that's still being pumped out today. And it's good water, soft water. And that's the water
mm-hmm.
that the mining company has yeah. been using since 1970.
Oh. Okay.
Mm. To, first of all, to wash down the coal before they sold it to two generating stations, one mm-hmm. in Arizona and mm-hmm. one in Nevada,
mm-hmm.
that pristine water. Mm-hmm. And that's the water they also use to slurry the coal. So
okay.
They dig the coal, clean the water, ground it up, and then push it to a pipeline.
Oh, when they do that, Vernon, does that that's polluted the water then in the other villages on the Hopi, right? Causing it to be carcinogenic?
Well, we believe so.
Yeah, okay.
They're dependent on well water.
That
the overdrafting of that water that's contained in what hydrologists call confined aquifer,
mm-hmm.
Which means that there's no possibility of recharge into a bowl of water
mm-hmm.
that's kind of covered by a saran wrap.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the water that the mining company wanted because it doesn't corrode the pipe.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then that amount of water, isn't that putting a lot of pressure on that spring? I mean, I can't imagine
because
how the spring could support it.
All the springs, like mm-hmm. Hopi State.
Mm-hmm.
All the water sources and systems are connected like blood veins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're all connected together. You disturb one and you disturb everything. And that's kind of what happened at Black Mesa. And
I see.
Today they pump close to 50 billion gallons of that water.
Oh my goodness.
Which is enough to sustain the entire Hopi population of 10,000 people for over 300 years.
Wow.
Just gone in 35 years.
Wow. In a day.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. by over-pumping the water from the confined Navajo aquifer, as they call
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
has an impact on the outskirts of the boat.
Yeah. I see.
And
sure.
This is where First and Second Mesa are sitting. And so we know that is contributing to the contamination problem that
sure.
they're having there.
Sure.
But the government do not want to study it.
So
to
get to the root of the cause, we really need to stop the pumping of the water. I mean, the water filters are a Band-Aid, but at least it gets people healthy again to be able to fight the fight.
Yeah.
But It's really that is a really big thing that I know we're all really concerned about and want to support you in any way we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Vernon, I wanted to ask you if you had any Hopi prophecies for this time regarding our future. If you had some, that would be appreciated.
Well, the prophecy is that we are at the past the 11th hour of what Hopi is called the fourth world.
Mm-hmm.
This is the present world.
Mm-hmm.
We came from another world that's located somewhere in New Mexico. We're descendants of the people that lived in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that civilization became evil, corrupted, taken over by evil priests.
Mm-hmm.
And it got so bad that they were starting to sacrifice children.
Mm.
So our ancestors said, this is no longer a place for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go seek a safe place. And they traveled through the desert for hundreds of years and then came out of the Grand Canyon at a place called Sebab.
Okay.
Very important to Hopis.
Yeah.
That's the emergence to the fourth world of the Hopi, which is the Colorado Plateau.
Mm-hmm.
It is a safe place for mankind. It is a place that one day people from all over the world will come to share their vision, their talent, their skill, to create the fifth world, because we're at the ending of the fourth world. That's what the Hopi said.
Okay.
Well, that's where we are right now, and that's a very serious concern to all of us. And you can see it today. It's happening. There's warfare. There's kids starving, dying, driven out of their home. That's not good.
And the water problem is contributing to that. Is it? Is it undermining
that?
Oh,
yeah. They don't have good water to drink.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of humans have we become?
Yeah. I wanted to share a little story. When I was in Peru last year, I met a shaman, and he said one of the prophecies, and I think it was one of their Inca prophecies, but maybe a Hopi prophecy too, Vernon, where when the condor and the eagle meet, in other words, when the South and North Americans meet, Native Americans and people from both areas meet, there'll be peace in the world. I'd love
that's
your
true.
Comment on that. Yeah, okay, that's what I heard when I was in Peru.
Back in 2006.
Uh-huh.
I think it was 2006,
I'm not too sure about that, but that's when the Hopi runners took a message, water, about water, the spiritual nature of water, about water is that all living things have a right to water, insects, birds, whatever, humankind, that no one owns water, that we don't control water. It is water that controls us. Mm-hmm. So we took a message there. It took us 16 days to run carrying a jug of water and a planting stick all the way to Mexico City, where Fourth World Water Forum was being held.
Vernon, that day at the end in Mexico, when all these people from Azteca and Inca, they got together in Mexico. Dr. Emoto was there, and he gave the prayer there at the end so that they would unite.
Wow. Yeah, he was there.
He was there, and I was there, too.
And indigenous people from all around the area came. Walked to this place.
Yeah, and the Mayan Grand. The Mayan Grand Elder Don Alejandro, and he was really big with that shift too in the staff.
They said that this was the day that the eagle
Yep.
Eagle.
And the condor.
Eagle came and condor came and
condor
then
condor came and make circle three yep. times above right. the above yeah. us and then yep. went away. Right. And at that time, people in Mexico said, we never had this eagle coming to this area because we don't have eagles here.
Yeah.
And that's that was like yep. blessing. Yeah. Yeah. And that was
that's
so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was happened. There were celebrations, dancing,
exactly.
and all kinds of good stuff. And suddenly, everyone stopped.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
everyone well, good thing
stopped.
We started
and
again.
They were pointing
yeah,
up
we're
to
starting
the sky.
It.
And we're starting
there
it again.
Was yep. that eagle.
Well,
oh,
interesting
wow.
that we're starting
yeah,
again
we're
in Mexico
it, yeah.
and
yes.
on the
we
reservation.
On
here we go.
We have it on video.
Wow.
This is
my,
so...
My brother videotaped
that.
Everything.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And then,
yeah, I have that picture to you still and with me, and it's just... It was such a beautiful moment that happened, and we're so I'm so happy that we're starting it again. This is so
yeah.
important. It's so meaningful. We just
yeah.
have to keep doing this. We should never stop this.
Yeah, and what was so moving on my part was that the the night before the runners reached the city, my mm-hmm. mother passed away.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She had diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was over 80 years old, and
wow.
They were going to do a surgery and cut off our leg. And my sisters told me that, well, we decided that it should be done. And the doctor said it's a big risk at her age.
Right.
You know, it's a big chance, but you family have that decision. And my sisters, you know, but. Let's do it. And she didn't survive. She didn't survive the surgery.
I see. That's
that
too
was
good.
The
yeah.
A night before the runners reached
wow. Wow.
this big Mexico. Monument in the middle of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was the eagle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
She was
there.
The eagle.
Yeah, she
was
the eagle.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Think it was
the
message. Park called
yeah.
Chapultepec or something like that. Yeah,
okay.
I remember that.
Okay.
It was such a beautiful ceremony, and I can never forget that eagle making circle above us three yeah. times and
right.
flew away. And yeah. it was just it was a blessing. Beautiful blessing.
Well, you know, I think all of this is a sign that we've started entering into a new age.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that the Vernon, that the Hopi are finally getting clean water where you live, you know, and we're learning through this process to rely upon ourselves from the bottom up, creating this new planet.
And working together.
And working together.
We're working together.
This is,
yep.
this is what President Kennedy talked about
yep.
in his Ask
yeah.
Not speech. And
yeah.
And if he had lived, we would be living in a paradise right now. But because this planet is destined to ascend into the higher dimensions, good things are happening now. And that's and also, too, Leon, you know, or Vernon, you know Leon. Leon's been quiet there. He's been very polite. But Leon, would you
yeah.
like to say a sentence or two?
Yeah. Like I said, we're very excited to be putting these projects together with the Hopi, the Navajo, and to do it. Our latest project in Mexico with Michi. So we're just super excited that we were able to design a unit that could actually solve the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll be there in April for the retreat. We're planning on doing a concert. I'm also talking to the Rotary about working with the Navajo, the Hopi, and Mexico. So we're bringing some really great people on board to join us on this mission. To bring clean, fresh drinking water to children
yeah.
and their families around
wow.
The world and to the Hopi tribe, Navajo, and in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Ted, if anyone want to donate, you can go to www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org and make a donation where we can get these units to provide water for the children and their families.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows somebody,
that
they can accept them,
I just want to thank
yeah.
you, Leon. I've never met you. but I think I know you. You're my brother.
we'll be there.
I don't know, but there are these kind of neat little connections that's being put together, network.
Right.
There was a lady that came by the house, and she said she'd donated, I think, $30,000 to the
Oh, you met?
Yeah.
Oh, Teresa came by.
Teresa spent an evening. A beautiful picture I saw from that.
Really amazing. Yeah. And it just shows that, like you folks say, we are starting a fifth world, a new world.
Yep.
Right.
And it needs to keep moving.
Absolutely. Well, Leon and I will be there in late April as well, so we're looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Ken, thank you for spreading the message. Ken, thank you, my bro.
Well, it warms my heart. I can't tell you how pleased I am that this has come about, and we'll be doing more good things, too.
And we're establishing some really nice friendships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And all of my listeners around the world are joining us today and wishing you well, Vernon, and everyone there in the Hopi for clean water. You know, this program is different than other radio stations, which focus on doom and gloom. And there's going to be challenges, but you have to remember not to lose sight of our ultimate goal, because the planet is changing. Sure, the government's partially shut down now, but frankly, who cares? I feel sorry for the federal workers who aren't getting paid, but, you know, they have the wherewithal to pay them. I don't know why they don't. Some of the shutdown means that the Food and Drug Administration cannot do research on vaccinations now, which is just fine with me because most vaccines are not good for you anyway.
It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, it's a wake-up call.
Yeah,
it's a wake-up call.
Donald Trump, hope he's calling Donut Mouth. they call him Donut Samoa, meaning guy who's so egotistical he talks like a donut.
Huh. Interesting.
But he has a purpose.
Yeah, he does. To bring
and
it up to face.
Well, you know, if you don't like this kind of world, change it.
Exactly.
Right. Wake up.
Right.
But he doesn't understand that, but that's a wake-up call for all Americans.
Right.
All of us.
Right.
All people on Earth. Yeah.
All people on Earth. Yeah, to take the initiative.
All
you know, to take the initiative from the bottom up. And that's what President Kennedy has told me repeatedly, that back in his time, before he was assassinated, the changes were coming top down from his administration to the people of the U.S. Yeah. But nowadays, it's coming from the bottom up, from all of us talking today.
And you know, Ted and Vernon and Martha and Leon, when we think that we are, each person is one droplet of water.
Exactly.
And this one droplet cannot do much. But when we get all together, we make the huge ocean. And when we think about that, this ocean has such a big power and energy.
And
teacher, Jerry Hanawa, who passed away 3 years ago, told me this. Every raindrop has its song.
Beautiful. I wanted
and
to...
all and when all those little raindrops come together and form a river, they're speaking for you.
That's
Voice choir.
That's right.
And I'm exactly
so
this.
You lost a loved one. You're feeling sad. Yeah. Sit by the stream, by the river, and you'll hear the music.
Right.
Yeah, and when rain drops on water.
When the fog comes, your ancestors coming to embrace you.
That's
what Hopi say.
Life is
water. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That we all are water people, that water is indestructible. It just changes pace.
Yep.
And, you know, it goes from
liquid
to ice to vapor, but it can never be destroyed. Never.
Yeah, Dr. Emoto
said. They carry memory, and they have memory.
Dr. Emoto said.
We are taught when we were young kids. And he said, when the first raindrop falls on your face, you are to say thank you.
Beautiful.
Ancestors.
Vernon? Vernon,
visiting us and for remembering
Vernon
us.
You're welcome to stay on over the past the 3 o'clock hour. We've run out of time on this segment, and Leon and Mitchie, please stay on if you guys like. I have Professor Jerry Pollack on for the next segment, and he's one of the world's most famous water scientists. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening today. Please stay tuned for our next segment with Professor Jerry Pollack, one of the world's most famous water scientists.
Kanata ni hikari.